Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
The church, so-called, has become so many things. It can be a lecture hall. It can be a university. It can be a school. It can be a motivational course. It's so many things that are not what the Bible told us to be. But rather than look at other churches around us, churches across town, churches on the city, and say, oh, shame on them. They're not the house of God. They're not the gate of heaven. We really don't have a role to do that. Our examination needs to be self-examination. Is Living Way Church just another church among many? Or is it literally the house of God and the gate of heaven? I read this to a pastor friend of mine, or quoted to a friend of mine. He asked me what I was preaching Wednesday night and Sunday, and I told him, and he said, I'd never seen that scripture, and he has a great church, been preaching most of his life. He said, I didn't even know the Bible talked about the house of God being the gate of heaven. I think there's a lot of us that do not realize that's the real role of the house of God. That's the real role of the church, is that it become the gate of heaven, a place where people can come and find a gate that literally leads to eternal reconciliation and life with Almighty God. That's what Christ was talking about in John 10:10. So we don't want to examine the church across town. We don't want to examine the church on television. We want to examine this house. We want to ask you. I want you to ask me, is this the gate of heaven? The Bible tells us to first examine our own self. Save yourself and then them that hear you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord regardless of what other people do. Jesus said, before you try to remove the speck from somebody's eye, get the mote out of your own eye. So before we accuse the church across town, we need to ask ourselves, are we doing our very best to make sure that this is the house of God and this is the gate of heaven? There are indicators that indicate what a church really is, a so-called church, what it really is. Is it really the house of God? Is it really the gate of heaven? I got started on point number one on Wednesday night. Number one, in order for it to be the house of God, it has to have the presence of the Lord. Jacob running for his own life, and there are so many overlays in the Old Testament about the New Testament in our lives. Jacob running for his life. That's exactly what each one of us are doing. We are running for our lives. We're running for eternal life. And so Jacob's idea was if he could outrun Esau, he would be all right. That's the same mistake that we all make. We're not running against somebody else. We're running against our own nature. He was running against his older brother. We're running against our older nature. And so we have to realize that we have to overcome our flesh, because the Bible said that our flesh has enmity with the Spirit of God. And so our striving should not be to excel someone else, but our striving should be to be the person that God wants us to be, to go through that transformation that God offers us. That cannot be done without the presence of the Lord. It can't be done simply by intellect. It can't be done simply by teaching. We literally have to have the supernatural presence of God. Jesus would say to that religious ruler Nicodemus, when he asked him, how can I be saved? What must I do? He said, you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. What was he talking about? He was talking about the supernatural new birth that we all have to undergo. That can only be done by God's Spirit. It's not done by might. It's not done by power. But it's done by God's Holy Spirit. And so above all, when we come into this place, the Bible tells us how to come into God's house. Come in with praise and thanksgiving, into his courts, into his gates with praise and thanksgiving. That's the reason why you see these people up here. This is not the church has talent. This is not to show off somebody's voice. It is to usher in God's presence, that the Holy Spirit will descend upon us like a dove lighting down on earth, that it would come upon us, and we would recognize like Jacob did. Jacob did not know it at first. He said, this is the house of God, the gate of heaven. I knew it not. He was not discerning. But God wants to open our eyes. God wants us to be discerning of his Spirit. God wants us to know that we must bask in his presence. So in all that we do, our singing, our worship, everything we should do, it should be to make the Holy Spirit comfortable, that this is not my house. It's not Steve's house or Brandon's house or your house. it's our house only indirectly, but primarily it's the house of the Lord. This is God's house. What does God want? You can't find what God wants by checking in Cleveland, Tennessee, or St. Louis, Missouri, or Springfield, Missouri with the Assembly of God, or in Rome with the Catholic Church. If you want to find out what God wants, go to His Word, and He will tell you how to entertain His presence. And He does that, particularly in the book of Psalm, the man after God's own heart. It tells us how to praise Him and worship Him. And somebody comes in and says, well, I just didn't enjoy it. Well, it wasn't about your enjoyment. It was about enticing God's presence. It was about building God a house for Him to settle in. It was about Him inhabiting our praise and our worship. And so when we come into this house, we battle against our flesh, against our intellect, against our intelligence. We battle against the tiredness of our body, the fatigue of our spirit. We battle against the tradition of this world. We battle against all religions and say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to worship the Lord in such a way that the Lord is pleased and the Lord is comfortable in our house. Remember the woman that came and she broke the alabaster box and she literally washed the feet of Jesus and dried it with His hair, and the disciples and other religious people were offended by that. But Christ was not offended at all. He said, this woman makes a memorial for all time the way she's worshiped and praised me. And so I've got lots of friends. I do a lot of business in town, and one of my friends was a real estate lady. If she's still living, I haven't talked to her in a couple of years. She's got to be around 90 years of age. But when I first came to San Antonio 45 years ago, she helped me, and we became great friends. And she tried to come to this church because she liked me. And finally she said, Steve, I love you like a son. She's a lot older than I am. Naturally, if she's in her 90s, she is. I want to point that out. That is actually the main point of my message here today. She said, Steve, I love you like a son, but I'm just not comfortable with your church. It makes me uncomfortable. Well, she didn't have a desirable lifestyle. I can tell you that. I don't want to go into it, but I knew her lifestyle very well, and it certainly was not anything scriptural. And so when she came into God's house, she felt uncomfortable. There should be so much presence of God in here, number one, and worship that it makes God comfortable. Number two, it makes people that have not aligned themselves with God uncomfortable, where they will change and conform to what the Bible calls the image of His dear Son. And so I know that when you clap your hands, some people think that should be only at a Spurs game. But we know the Bible said, clap hands, all ye people. I know when you lift your hands, some people think it ought to only be in an Iowa caucus or a New Hampshire primary. But praise God, we are not in business of counting, just like they can't do in Iowa. The Lord is the one that is doing the numbering. So we're not here for a caucus or a primary. We're not here to appease flesh. We are here to entertain the presence of the living God. I do all I know to do and wished I knew more to do that I could entertain God's presence. Because I promise you, when God's supernatural presence comes in, great things happen. Men's hearts are converted. They're convicted of their evil ways. They conform to the holiness and godliness of God. Suddenly, things that are sickness and disease that the doctors cannot eliminate through medical science are suddenly gone, for the Bible said He sends His Word to heal them. We want more than anything at Living Way Church for this not just to be a church, but the gate of heaven, a place where you can literally find God's presence, a place where Christ can come down, a place where you can go into the presence of God. And when you leave this place, you can say, wow, what a dreadful place. In other words, what an awesome place. What an amazing place. What a scary place that the Creator of the universe would fill a building where people were applauding and singing and worshiping and dancing and crying and laughing. And they left all of their cares at the altar. They left all of their concerns in their car. And they had one thing on their mind. And it was like the prophet Isaiah, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. More than anything else, we need the train of God. That's not a choo-choo. That's a wedding train. That is the very personage of God, that God's presence would fill this house. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you right now, if there would be a holy interruption of this little message I'm preaching by the presence of God, your sins would be forgiven. Your sicknesses would be healed. Your depression would be gone. God's presence is an amazing thing. And so above all, if we're going to call Living Way a real church, not a pseudo church, not a fake church, but a real church, a real house of God, a real gate of heaven, it has to be filled with God's presence. And God's presence will not be entertained by politics. It will not be entertained by religion. It has to be when people break up the contrite spirit of their heart and say, God, I love you. I admire you. I glorify you. I extol your virtue. I recognize that you are not only my creator, but you are my redeemer and my provider. And so I can't say it loud enough. I can't say it long enough. I can't say it strong enough. You're altogether lovely. Jesus, you're my creator. You're my savior. You're my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You're the one that never leaves me and never forsakes me. And so, Lord, I have a quest like David did. David said, my heart seeks the presence of the Lord like a deer seeks water when it's thirsty. Lord, I want your presence. I go out into this world to conduct business like every one of you do. But when I come to God's house, I want this place to be saturated with his glory. I want to know I've been in the house of God. I haven't just been to some place to get motivated. I haven't been someplace for an exchange of ideas. It's not an arena for philosophies. This is the house of the living God and the gate of heaven. Oh, Lord, saturate us with your presence. I'm still on point one from Wednesday night. Bear with me. This is going to take a while, but I got a while, praise God. I got a few more years. In the name of Jesus, we want your presence. We want to feel your presence. We want to know your presence. We want to realize that we cannot run for our life from Esau and save ourselves, that only God can save us. We want the Spirit of the Lord to come into this place. We want the power of God to be here. We want the power to repent and our sins be gone. We want the power to be restored. We want the power to be healed. We want the power to be forgiven. All of that happens in God's presence. So I beseech every one of you, you might be like me. You might be tone deaf. You might not be able to sing. It doesn't matter. You might have the rhythm of a hampered white man. It doesn't matter what your rhythm is. I beseech you as a child of the living God, someone that's been saved, someone that's been washed in his blood, that you become an all-star worshiper. You become a state-of-the-art praiser. You come into this house and say, I'm not going to sit on my hands. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to break my alabaster box. I'm going to acknowledge God until God shows up in a big way. Because you might feel good about yourself today, but there might be somebody in this building that's suicidal. There might be somebody that just got a cancer diagnosis. There might be somebody that's got an addiction they can't break. What we need is not more words and pomp and circumstance. What we need is the glory of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the living God. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Can I appeal to you that we do our best to make this place an upper room church every time we come together, that we praise in a way that the presence of God blows in like an amazing wind, and nobody leaves empty. Nobody leaves with their same old sin. Nobody leaves with their same old addiction. Nobody leaves with their same broken heart. Nobody leaves thinking about doing their self harm. Everybody said, wow, it is the house of God and the gate of heaven. And I knew it not. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that Jesus Christ stands at the door and knocks. And he does that in churches all over America and around the world. And unfortunately, he does not get a come in too many churches. They've got their program and their plan that they're going to work. And it has nothing to do with God's presence. But can I ask you that at Living Way Church, we become the exception to the rule. This beautiful church set on the freeway is not just a church house. But it is the house of God. It's the gate of heaven. The Spirit of God is welcome here. Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Search me. None of us, because of seniority, get beyond the pale of God's hand. Every one of us should come and say in every service, Lord, search me. Let the Holy Spirit shine its light on me. Let it eradicate the sin and ungodliness out of my life. Let it anoint me with the glory of the Lord. No matter if this is my first time or if you've been here for 45 years, it doesn't matter. We need the presence of the living God. It's not might, it's not power, it's God's Spirit. Holy Spirit, walk these aisles, touch hearts, meet needs, ask people, will you be made whole? That was Jesus' big question, will thou be made whole? And unfortunately, he did not always get the response that he wanted, but your response should be, yay and amen. I want to be made whole. I want to be more like you. I crave your Spirit, Lord. Fall fresh on me. I lift my hallelujah. I give you my praise. Inhabit my praise, God, that when I walk out of this place, I will not be the man or woman that I came in, but I will be changed. I will be transformed. I will be supernaturally enhanced. I will be baptized by the glory of the Lord. The Lord brings you to his house, not just to sit in mute recognition of his glory, but he brings you in his house that you would be literally transformed, that when you walk out of here to go to HEB or you go to your job, that you're aglow with the presence of the Lord. You're like Moses. Your countenance has been changed. They said his face glows. He's been with the Lord. Is there anybody here today that would say, God, let your presence fill me until I glow with the presence of Almighty God? I don't have to get somebody down and put my foot in to tell them about Jesus. They see the glow of God on me, and they ask me, what's different about you? I'll tell you what's different. I've been to the house of God. I've been to the gate of heaven, and God has touched my soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Spirit here right now. There's somebody that's sick that you could praise your way out of sickness right now. There's somebody that's bound. You could glorify God until you are delivered. There's somebody that's lonely that you could praise God and suddenly the presence of the Lord would take away your loneliness. I want you to stand on your feet right now, every one of you, and I want you to lift your hands as high as you can, and this is your prayer. God, make this the house of God. Make this the gate of heaven. And Lord, that can only happen by your Holy Spirit, by your presence. And Lord, I am beseeching, I'm requesting, I'm begging, I'm entertaining. Lord, I want this place to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every time I come through these doors, but particularly right this moment, somebody's sick that needs to be healed. God's presence can supernaturally heal them. Somebody is miserable, and God has got the gift of joy for you. Somebody feels like they're in a straitjacket spiritually. They're just bound up, and God said, I can set you free. It doesn't matter what it is. My Lord is able if we will unshackle him. There's a reason why the writer said, quench not the Spirit of God. Quench not the Spirit of God. And would write yet again, stir up the Spirit. Stir up the Spirit. Holy Spirit, flow in this building right now. Lord, my prayer is that nobody would be depressed, that nobody would be suicidal, that nobody would be lonely, that nobody would be in pain, that nobody would be lost, that nobody would be bound, that somebody that is here today is not going to go back to the alcohol bottle or the drug syringe, but praise God, they're going to be delivered by the presence of the living God. If you're in this room and you've got a problem in your life, you've got something you can't handle, I dare you to walk down to this altar and say, I believe this is the house of God and the gate of heaven. And I, like Jacob, in running for my life, But praise God, in my fleeing, I have found something, and that is that God has let his ladder down in this place today, and the angels are descending and ascending in the name of Jesus Christ. These are not the only four or five that need a miracle. There's 34 more people that need to come and walk down this aisle right now and say, in the name of Jesus Christ.